This is a talk given by Sydney Banks. A deeper appreciation of what he is saying can be obtained by listening to this tape many times.
You know, to me it's really very difficult to believe that 17 years have gone by since I had my realization and discovered what I discovered. It's very, very difficult for me to try and convince people I actually found the secret of mind, the secret of psychology, and how it's related to the spiritual teachings of the world. I see how so many people that are involved in this field avoided it like the plague, even although they knew it worked. There's been all different types of people. There's been the people who are very, very excited at what I was saying, who listened and heard as much as they could, gave it to their patients, and their patients got well. There's the other type of person who jumped on the bandwagon, trying to create a name for themselves, a financial gain. These are the people who truly, truly lost it. These were the type of people that were involved with their own ego, as I say, trying to make a name for themselves. Those are the people who weren't really interested in helping humanity. They were only interested in helping themselves. Those are the people who weren't really interested in helping humanity. They were only interested in helping themselves. And I'm sorry to say I've met many, many of those people. However, that's the way it is, and nobody can change that. It is also extraordinarily difficult for me to believe that even though people saw the results, they still avoided it. Even though people saw the results, they still avoided it. This is why I had to go into writing fictitious books. It wasn't to write fictitious books. It was the only way I could get the truth out because it was being held back. It is extraordinary, ironic, that to get help out, you got to bypass the people in the helping field and go straight to the public. This is the last thing in the world I wanted to do. I wanted to honestly help the profession. But then I found out it was almost impossible to do because the way it was all set up. You know, I've met a lot of people that either belong to or used to belong to Alcoholics Anonymous. Now, this is an organization that's incredible. It helps a lot of human beings, but it's gone away from the spiritual beliefs that they originally had. It's lost. It's like everything else, it gets lost in time. However, you can always reverse that. Believe it or believe it not, the way you reverse it is look within yourself. Look within your own consciousness to your common sense. And here's the answer, is common sense. Plain, ordinary, everyday common sense. You know, I've talked to many people about this from different organizations that are in the helping field, and they turn around and they'll say, I don't want common sense, I want an answer. Well, believe me, this is the answer. Common sense. It's too simple, I'm told. People won't believe it. But the people that say that, they are the non-believers because they're not looking. And as I say, I honestly don't want anybody to believe me. If anybody believes me blindly, then they're puppets. They're of no value to anybody in the world. They're puppets. I don't want you to believe. I want you to look. Look and use your own common sense. Listen to what's being said. You know, there's a million different excuses why people won't listen. And if you listen to those excuses, they don't hold water. You know, when I When I first started to write Second Chance, I admit I felt a little bit bad at the beginning because the last thing in the world I wanted to do was bypass the therapists that were coming to listen. But I had no other choice. And I'm really glad I did now, because since then I've had literally hundreds and hundreds of letters from therapists, from doctors, from ordinary people, saying their lives have changed since reading the book. Because I was given help, in return, I'd like to help others. You see, what you're actually looking for is a feeling. And as I say, my late wife Barbara and I, we devoted entire lives to helping people. But when we saw the help there, it gave us a beautiful feeling. And that's what it's all about. If you can go through life with a good feeling, that's what you call mental health. When you have a bad feeling, then you have a problem. And you have to get rid of that bad feeling. And that bad feeling, believe it or believe it not, all it is thought. Once you realize this, and the thoughts disappear, good feeling comes, and once again, you're stable and healthy. You'll be a far, far better person in every way. And this is what psychology has been looking for since the beginning of time, is an answer to try and help people who are suffering. And it's almost like you get condemned for helping. And this really shocked Barb and I when this first started to happen, when therapists would scream at us about what we were doing, because it was working, because it wasn't something that we're used to. I remember one psychologist coming to me and saying, you know, Sid, when I first graduated and I was handed my diploma, I went outside and I had tears in my eyes, tears of sadness, because he honestly knew that he didn't really know anything about mental health. All his teachings had been in vain. However, he said, after listening to you and Barb, I now know that I have something that can help humanity. And I've seen it help my patients over and over again. And again, he was condemned because of the positive results. He was condemned. Now to me, this is disgusting. It just doesn't make sense. Somebody, somewhere along the line, isn't looking at a fact. And if you see something that works, look at it and be honest and say, it's working, I should listen. And somewhere along the line, if you hear, you won't be hearing the words of Sid Banks or anybody else. You'll be hearing a little voice within yourself saying, this is right, this feels good. And again, I'm back to that feeling. And as long as you get that incredible, beautiful feeling, then you know you're on the right path. On the other hand, if you walk away from your work with a real bad feeling that you're not helping anybody, then that's a feeling that you'll take home with you. You know, if you're working and you think what you're doing is futile, and it's all in vain, then again you're going to get that bad feeling. And that's really quite natural. If you're flogging a dead horse day after day and seeing no results, then that's a pretty gruesome thing to look at. But how beautiful it is to even imagine, just imagine, that there is a cure. Then that someday you can go to the office and when you walk home, you know you've really helped some human beings. Then you would take that good feeling home with you. That good feeling is yours. It's yours. You've earned it. That's what you earned that day, was a good feeling. And you take it home and you take it to your children, take it to your wife. That's what life is about. It's trying to spread good feelings. not bad feelings like the Freudian do, take you back into all that nonsense of rubbish, they take you back into the sickness. This is what you've got to be very, very careful about. You're trying to give away good feelings. Good feelings bring mental stability, they bring mental health. That's all I'm saying. And all I'm asking is that you look at this, not avoid it, and be honest with yourself. And if you're being honest with yourself, again, you'll have that good feeling. So please, look at it. Well, I guess that's about all for now. And again, I'd like to thank you for everything. And all the best.
Quite a few people have informed me lately that they're starting to write textbooks and on their new philosophy that they have in life regarding the psychology of mind. And I think this is really beautiful. And also, a few doctors and therapists have asked me to talk on psychology of mind. Well, I know it's been picked up in many, many different ways. And this is really quite natural. But again, I'm going to say there's, the way I see it, there's three basic things. Mind, consciousness, and thought. Now, a few have expressed concern trying to relate to what is called mind. Well, to be truthful with you, you don't really have to worry about it. Because what I'm relating to as mind, that is master mind, it's a universal intelligence. So you don't really have to worry about it. You just be grateful it's there. So there's two other things left. That's consciousness and thought. And you know yourself that many of you therapists and doctors, etc., have found incredible results working with what you call consciousness and thought. And truly, for the past 17 years since I first started associating with psychologists and therapists, I've always said, you're far, far greater to talk what you know than to talk other people's philosophy and really know nothing of what you're saying. See, psychologically, if you think of it, there is nothing in this world can come to pass without thought and consciousness. There is no mental sickness you can have, no mental breakdown. There's no bad thoughts, good thoughts. The natural fact, there'd be no reality without consciousness and thought. Because consciousness gives our five senses the ability to react to life. Our seeing, our smelling, our touching, etc. This is what brings it into life. But it can't come in by itself. It has to have a thought. So it's the individual's thought coupled with consciousness that creates reality. Now remember, simply thought. These thoughts in turn create our character and our behavior and the behavior of humanity as a whole. Whether you think negative or positive, it's immaterial. With no judgment, it is still your thoughts coupling with consciousness to create your reality. If you agree with what I'm saying, again, that is your thoughts coupled with consciousness. If you disagree, again, it's the same. No matter who you disagree with or who you agree with, no matter if your thoughts are negative or positive, I'm not judging. I'm not judging humanity. What I'm saying is, it is brought about by a thought. No, I remember saying that, and somebody once said to me, "Are you telling me that chair isn't real? It's only a thought." Of course the chair is real, but it comes to you via thought. You see, here is where a vast, vast difference occurs. Many therapies, what they do, they take the individual mind and they start to analyze the mind. They start to analyze the behavior. Well, this is really quite a natural thing, but it is not the way they're finding the secret of consciousness and thought. Because if there's X amount of billion people on Earth, each person has its own thoughts, so you can imagine how many trillions and trillions and trillions of thoughts there are. So that's an investigation into Never Never Land. So what you have to do is not investigate everybody's thoughts. You find out the true meaning of thought. Singular. Thought. It's a principle. It can never change. It's humanity that uses thought for his own way of thinking. But thought is unchangeable. It's a principle. Without it, there'd be no such thing as reality here on earth for any human being. Consciousness. Therapist, talk about your consciousness. Again, each person has their own consciousness. And again, there's trillions of different ideas and realities. So you're not looking for that. You're not looking for the personal. You're looking for the impersonal. So we say consciousness is a principle. Pure consciousness can't change. Pure consciousness has no form. It just is. It's we that use this consciousness for daily living. But sometimes we use it unwisely and it creates bad behavior. So we investigate into the behavior and miss the point altogether. You look for the singular consciousness. So therefore you look for singular true meaning of thought, the true meaning of consciousness, and we get to mind. And again, we investigate into all the minds with many, many therapists trying to figure them out. And you never can, because once again, there's billions of people that have personal little mind systems or thought systems with infinite amount of ideas. So again, it's no good. So once again, you take that basic principle and you seek the true meaning of mind. One mind, one consciousness, and one thought. And if any one of those things disappear, there is no reality. You must have a thought to take consciousness and turn it into life for you. And there can't be consciousness without the universal intelligence creating consciousness. But truly, sometimes you should learn to walk before you can leap, eh? And if you understand to a greater extent the connection between thought and consciousness and your client's behavior, and you can see that this connection can help a lot of human beings, then you're a lucky person. You know, those three basic principles, mind, consciousness, and thought, well, they can't be explained. They can only be explained as a metaphor. Being explained in this way, it throws you off the scent, so to speak. Let me give you an example of that. Like, just imagine somebody that doesn't know anything whatsoever about electricity, has never seen electricity before in his life. And he walks into your home, and he sees an electric light bulb. And he asks, what is that? And the person says, that's an electric light bulb, it's run by electricity. Then he looks at the iron, it's run by electricity. And it's the same with the fan. He's still not getting an explanation of what electricity is. He's getting an explanation of what it can do. So the fellow says, okay, I'll tell you what, I'm going to investigate and I'm going to find out what this electricity is. So naturally, what he would do, he'd go down to the plug and take a screwdriver and take it apart and look at the plug. Then he'd see the wires. Then he would figure out, they run through the wire, they go to the main box, and it goes on and on forever and ever. But no matter how he investigates, he's not finding out what electricity is. He's finding out what you can do with it, what it creates, what it allows you to do in life. Well, this is the same with the three basic principles. You know, the simple thing about all this is, when you think of it, if negative thoughts created all the hellish, nightmarish emotions that we had to go through, all the problems, all you have to reverse is your thoughts to positive. But it's not just merely changing thought. It's changing the level of understanding via thought, via a deeper level of consciousness. Because you see, investigating into levels of consciousness is endless. You can't possibly come to the end of it. But if you keep seeking and seeking and seeking, then you'll never be satisfied with what you have. And this is one of the main things in life. Be satisfied with what you have, that happiness will come, because satisfaction is happiness. And I've seen a lot of people with lots of wealth, lots of material things, but they're unhappy. And all it is a thought. And if that thought changes, they become grateful. Grateful to life, because it gives them a feeling of happiness. Doesn't matter who you are in life, if you can find that feeling of gratefulness, of happiness, of contentment, of love, of understanding others, all those different feelings are what you're looking for. This is what creates a nicer reality. When a patient comes to you and is suffering, they're saying, look, doc, please try and change my reality. I'm suffering. I'm suffering mentally. Because. They're looking for help. And I think this is an incredible profession, to be able to help people that are suffering, and quite often needlessly. So I've been really honored that I've been working with many psychologists, many therapists, and nurses, and various other people throughout the United States for the last 17 years. It's something I'll never forget. Well, folks, that's about all for now, and thank you.
Thank you for listening to this talk. We hope it has been helpful to you.